Spring has sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
This is the D-Word Podcast, where we talk dementia. Welcome along to another edition of the D-Word Podcast. Good to have your company. My guest this week is Sean Reeves, an actress, singer and radio presenter who's appeared in both Emmerdale and Coronation Street, and he's now a dementia ambassador. Well, Sean, it's an absolute delight to welcome you as my guest here on the D Word. Now, you know, you've had a really interesting time over the past few years because, you know, you're an actor, you've been on TV, you're in the original cast of Les Miserables, but things changed a little bit, didn't they, when you started doing a bit of remote singing during COVID?
Yes. Thank you so much for having me on. It's a real honour because I've listen to quite a lot of your shows and you speak to so many wonderful people. So thank you for having me on. So during COVID, it was like, great, you know, we can stop in this mad world of acting, which is quite a privilege, you know, because when you're self-employed, you're always trying to get the next job. So suddenly it was like, oh, we can relax for a minute. And then I got contacted by a fan who worked in a local nursing home in Birmingham near where I was born. And she said, oh, will you like send a message on Zoom? And I was like, well, should we do something more than that? You know, shall I sing some songs or something? And that's how this has all started to come about. So we literally did this lovely Zoom session and I was singing, you know, show me the way to go home and all these lovely old songs. And I saw how beneficial it was, how it lit people up, and my brain started to churn. And I came in contact with dementia when I was sort of 18, 19, when my friend Holly's mum sort of stopped remembering my name and stopped remembering to make us some tea when we were coming round and stuff like that. And of course, we didn't really know what that was then. And we used to say, oh, she's going crazy, you know, which is awful. And I felt so bad about not understanding what was going on with her mum. And then I've done various runs for Alzheimer's and I've had my head made into a shape out of bronze for Alzheimer's. And then I was like, oh, I think I can do a show. I can do like a tea for two show of these war songs because these will be great for the memory. I then got a big TV job, had to stop that, but had bought the dress. And then I went up to do a pantomime in Cardiff and I met H from Steps and this wonderful friend of mine, Benaz Akka. I'd been on this great show with them both called Cariad at Iaith. And they're both presenters at BBC Radio Wales. And they said, you ought to come in. You'd be great on the radio. And I was like, oh, I've never done it before. You know, went in and I've started working on the radio. And I also then met an amazing woman called Lorraine King, who does Singing for the Brain for Alzheimer's in Wales. And so here we are again. I was going, this is it. I've got to do something with my singing. And I was going to these lovely sessions in all these remote parts of Wales, singing to people from 60 upwards. You know, does anyone know YMCA? Does anybody know this one from the Beatles? And having a good time and then seeing how the communication with the carers was so massively needed and how the singing of the songs released some sort of speech with the people living with dementia. And I just loved how I could use my talent of singing and communicating and being lively, if that's really all it is, to help people have 1 hour a week where it's a bit more fun, where they've got someone to have a cup of tea with. And when those people who are living with trapped can be relaxed enough to say, oh, I don't like it, or that was great. Well, a lady the other day said, you're more right, you are. like that. I was in Dudley. And she'd said nothing. And I was thinking, I'm not getting through. I'm not getting through to you. And then the end, I did one song. I did a Pearly King and Queen song. And that was it. It released something. You're more. And I was like, brilliant. And then this other lady said, you know, you, a beautiful pianist, you heal my heart. Because she hadn't spoken for 10 years. And it just, I just think, I've got a gift. I'd love to use it. I'm in a position now where my daughter's grown up. I've got time to help. Luckily, financially, I can help out a bit as well, you know. And the radio seemed this great medium to talk to my best friend's husband's got Lewy dementia. And I just thought if there was a 2-hour program between 10 and 12, she could do breakfast and then she can leave her husband to try and carry on eating. And she can whiz and do washing and tidying the beds and things while repetitive music is on, you know, like help, I need somebody help. These songs that have got repetitive words are brilliant. That's why I've made this album now. I'm talking and talking, Pete. I'm sorry.
That's all right. I mean, tell us about the. I mean, the album was. Is that something you've always wanted to do anyway?
No, I've never had it on my bucket list. I was in the original cast of Les Mis, so I started my career singing. But I didn't really know that that was what I wanted to do. You know, I was a dancer. I wanted to be a dancer. And I just got this huge job and then ended up in this massive hit singing. And so Mary Hammond, this amazing singing teacher, got me up to scratch to be able to play Cosette, this high soprano role. And then I did musicals for a bit and played Maria and West Side Story and Dorothy and Wizard of Oz and stuff. And then I really wanted to be a straight actress, so I left it behind my singing. So the singing is something that's only just sort of started again through COVID. And then I met this young man in the park, it sounds terrible, with my little dog, Ronnie. And he was asking about Ronnie, and then he said he was working at Abbey Road Studios. And I was like, oh, really? I said, oh, I need to make an album for Alzheimer's. He said, you can come. I was like, what? He said, you can come for free. I'll do you a session for free. And so the next day I drove to Abbey Road to check that he was really a person. And he was. And he got me in and he got me into the Love Studio, this 70s wonderful studio to the left of the main entrance. It's just a little place with the original 70s desk. And he was recording some wonderful violinists there. And I was like, okay, you're real. And so I suddenly got old friends together, Steve Edis, the musical director who'd helped me get my original job in Les Mis nearly 40 years ago. He MD'd it for me. We had an hour's rehearsal. He got a bass player and a drummer. And suddenly the next Wednesday, we had 3 hours at Abbey Road and we were recording 7 tracks, one of which we did in one take, someone to watch over me. I'd never rehearsed with the others before, just with Steve. It was like mad. And we recorded on the original 40s mics as well that Frank Sinatra had used. And Marilyn Monroe apparently had been to Abbey Road and sung on them. So, I mean, it's been a whirlwind how this has come about. And I have now got an album that you can, you know, get on digital platforms all over the world for 5 years, and all proceeds will go to Alzheimer's, which is incredible.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Good.
here on The D Word. We're bringing together our programme for 2025. If you'd like to play a part and be my guest on the show, you can message us on social media, where you'll find us under Radio TDW, or drop an email to tdwradio@gmail.com, and you could be chatting with me next year. Back to 2024 now, and my guest, Sean Reeves.
And I do have a few CDs, which I got printed to give us, like, I'm going around care homes with them at the moment to try and make the government aware that we don't go to a care home now for a couple of years and die. We go for 20 years, and we need Mahjong classes, we need knitting classes, we need French classes, we need singing classes. We almost need like a school curriculum in the care homes. It's not enough to just feed them and leave them to sleep all day. When I go in, they're all like asleep in their chairs, and it's like the hardest show I've ever had to do in my whole life. And I just like gather my strength together and start talking and saying, does anyone know this? And by the time, like, once I've got half an hour into it, I've clicked with a few people. People have woken up. They've started talking to each other. And the singing of these, and I'm still doing the war songs in the care homes and the Pearly King and Queens. They seem, because they're 80 to 100, the people in these care homes. So, you know, I'll Be Loving You Always, and Tea for Two, and all those, A Foggy Day in London Town, all those lovely ones they are humming along to, or even clapping along to. And all of that stimulates neurons that send messages to the brain to relax, to be happy, to remember a different time, and to hopefully increase the possibility of speech for those who are trapped. And I'm finding it really tough at the moment, Pete, going around all my care homes, because I'm driving myself there like once a month. I've got one in Wales on Sunday, on Newport Road, Bryn Coed, I'm going to. And I just did the one in Dudley, but I think I might have to stop at Christmas, because hopefully there'll be other people going in at Christmas to do things. Mm-hmm. And then I can pick up again in January when everyone's all depressed.
I'll tell you know, you've hit upon this thing, haven't you? I tell people the story that when I was managing groups for the Alzheimer's Society, first day that I arrived, I was aware that behind the door in front of me were 18 people living with dementia. I was so nervous, because I thought, what am I going to do? How do I relate to 18 people living with dementia? And suddenly there was what I call the little angel on my right shoulder, said, well, just go in there, be yourself. And so I thought, okay, I'm in Harlow in Essex. I'm a London lad. I like my football. I like music. I'm pretty good on London history. And suddenly realised that a lot of people would be on that door were all repatriated Londoners who liked music, football, and all the things that I did. I went and I was myself, and we got on like out on fire. But I just wonder how you can get everybody to look at it in that way, because a lot of people doing what you do, it'd be really daunted. You know, how am I going to go in here in a care home, sing for people?
Yeah, it is hard. I mean, if someone had said to me last week, Sean, your mum's not very well, you better go home, I'd have run. Because it was my hardest one last week in Dudley. And I've got a feeling this one on Sunday will be tough in Wales as well, because there's different levels of care, even, you know, the money in each care home is different. The carers in each care home are different. But I do worry a lot about the care homes, because there isn't this structure of fun, that at least one thing in the morning or one thing in the afternoon has to happen. To be nice, to be kind. But there's also, as I'm doing this, I'm finding out more and more worrying things. You know, there's also this group of us now who are 60, who also need to keep bright and to keep our memories going. It's not enough to retire and stay at home and watch the telly. You know, we've got to keep going. And I don't mean it's like all awful school and not nice. It's almost like a youth club we need. Our lives have become so insular. You can order food in, you can order all your groceries in, you don't have to meet anyone at all. But if we had a youth club that we could go to every Monday and have a cup of tea and sing a few songs and do a bit of simple dancing to songs that we like, it would increase our longevity and our health. I don't want us all to live until we're 110. But I would love, I think we're going to have a massive amount of people soon who are going to be getting into their 80s and 90s. We're going to have a top heavy population. And if we can keep ourselves well and our brains well, you know, I've got a relative who's recently been diagnosed with vascular dementia. And I'm like, get a personal trainer. You know, please start doing some exercise. Not happening, you know. It's just not happening. And another relative who is not exercising and should be, because the brain is just dying off. It's a machine and everything's going, fears, stop. And we can't, that's not what we should be doing. We've got to keep them moving and keep them challenged. I sound exhausting, don't I?
No, you don't. But I think you're a good example. I mean, one thing I feel, and I've felt throughout doing this show, is that dementia is classed as an illness. And when you use the word illness, you always go down the medical route. Because normally, the traditional view of illness is, we'll give you a pill, we'll give you this, which will solve problem. But with dementia, what's not taken into account is the great social things and social activities, and how it has been proved scientifically these can be every bit as good as the pharmaceutical route that people are channeled down.
Absolutely. I mean, I suppose what we should be trying to do is to encourage, you know, people my age who've got a bit of energy, and there is a lot of untapped wonderful sources of people from 58 upwards who could do something in their spare time. And there's got to be an old church hut near you, and go and get it for free off the council and put some posters up everywhere and say, and buy a box of tea bags and boil a kettle and say, come along, have a cup of tea and a biscuit. We're going to have a sing-along. Or you could get a local drama school student to come and sing and ask people to join in with them. It seems to me very simple what needs to happen, but I don't know how to make it happen and make it happen quickly enough. I need a pharmaceutical company to sponsor me. They're making loads out of the elderly. That's it. You see, most people just take the tablets and then sit back in front of the television and think that it's going to get better, but it won't get better like that. You've got to do things to increase new paths in the brain to start working again.
I think also, you know, we have to remove the stigma which surrounds the condition of dementia. As you know, I talk to a lot of people living with dementia on the show. I've got a lot of people living with dementia who are friends, and people of my friends say, you talk to those people. I say, well, yeah, I have conversations with my friends living with dementia exactly the same as I'm in the conversation with you. And it's this real stigma that once somebody gets, as someone once described, a big D over their head, then suddenly they get written off.
Yes. And, you know, we're struggling with this at the moment. My aunt doesn't want to admit that she's got it because of the stigma, I suppose, because she's older. She doesn't want it to be over. I understand all of that. But you're right. If it's just that our electrodes aren't going in the right places anymore and they need to be redirected. It's like learning to walk again when you've been paralyzed. They can teach you to walk again. So they can teach you to remember some things again. You can teach your body to do things again. You can teach your mind to as well. And singing and music seems to be this miraculous drug that can make that happen.
We've had lot of contact with Playlist for Life, who a great organization, great charity, because it's not only they did this thing a couple of months ago in terms of producing a playlist, and it wasn't all about I love that song because it's got the world's most brilliant guitar solo on it. It was I love that song because that's why and when I was at school, or that was when I got married. And people underestimate the ability of music to bring all that stuff flooding back.
And there was, if you listen to quite a lot of successful pop songs, they're successful because they're so repetitive. Like that Beatles one, help, I need somebody help. I need not just anybody help. And you can sing along with that easily. And it just reignites. It reignites every time. You can see it in people's faces when certain songs trigger something. It's fascinating, and I should perhaps do a degree in it or something. I don't know. I'd like to do some more. I'd like to help some more, but I think this going to care homes is not the answer. I'm still doing it, and I've got another one in London nearby. That's going to be much easier because it's not so much of a trek. But I don't quite know where my journey is. I was like, I'm just going to do a show then. I think I'm going to do a T for Two show that carers can bring their partners to and just have a lovely hour and a half of knowing that it's going to be lovely and comfortable sounds, not too loud, not too many drums and things like that, but lovely, evocative, easy songs that you can hum along to, sing along to. So that's another idea, but that's quite expensive to do, So I need a backup.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Here on UK Health Radio, we cover every aspect of health with all the shows available to listen to live, listen again, and download on the website www.ukhealthradio.com. My guest this week is Sean Reeves. Yeah, I don't, you know, there are so many things that could be done. I mean, going back, when you were an actor, interestingly, you were in Emmerdale, and Emmerdale was the soap that had a really big dementia story around Ashley Thomas, who was the vicar in Emmerdale. Do you think we need more portrayals on national media like that so people begin to understand?
That would be a good idea. There's a play on at the National at the moment with Meera Syal in it, and what's wonderful is she's playing. I haven't seen it yet, but apparently she's playing her grandma as a real person who is funny and nice and does remember things sometimes. So playing her in a very approachable, real way where you wouldn't go, "Oh, I'm frightened of that." And so, yes, it does need to be addressed. And that, in fact, I think I drove Ashley to dementia because it was my story just preceded that, where I was trying to break him up with Laurel. He's a brilliant actor, John Middleton, and so is Charlotte. But yes, that would help because as long as they showed the people still being nice and normal and real, and then just these lapses. And or what, there's 200 types of dementia, aren't there? So there's so many different types, but it's you can still live a perfectly all right life with it as well.
Yeah, and I think, you know, the key is early diagnosis that everybody is talking about. There have been drug breakthroughs, there's various stuff with regarding to drugs, but it all really comes down to the fact of getting an early enough diagnosis so the help can then be put in place. And sadly, too often, people are not diagnosed till they're 5, even 6, 7 years down the line, when you could have put in all those things to make their life a lot better.
Yes, and all the exercises and all the singing. I mean, my uncle's laughing at me when I'm saying, when you take a cup of tea into her in the morning, sing her favourite song. And he's laughing at me. And I said, no, it'll help her brain to get going, to remember, to snick into place, to find something to settle her, to calm her. All of those little things need to be available for all us all to know, like brushing our teeth, really. It's that bog standard. And if we can, like, address, you know, our 50, even 55 upwards, what are the figures? 82% of us are going to be carers. 1 in 3 of us will be getting dementia. You know, it is a huge thing. And if we can get these exercises and singing into the system, and the radio station playing every morning, 10 till 12, where you can put it on for the carers so that they can ring in and talk about something they found or something that didn't work, don't do it, or something brilliant that occurred the other day. What a release and what a comfort to know that you're not on your own in your house doing it on your own. So I think a radio station would be great. I say to all my lovely oldies when I leave them, I say, put the radio on when you get back to your room. So I'm thinking they probably might not even know how to put the radio on anymore. You know, so that's another problem. And then they might get Radio 1, which even for me is scary. So, you know, you have to have some help with that as well, don't you? There are these dementia radios that have a bigger button. That I've seen that have been designed. But again, that's cost, isn't it? And every room to have a radio.
It's such a different, difficult conundrum to put all these pieces of jigsaw together. I think it comes down to one thing, really, and that's almost normalizing things, because there are lots of illness conditions which have been normalized and people just accept. People on radio phone-ins will talk about. I've never heard a radio phone-in talking about dementia, because it seems always to be in this little bubble in the corner, whereas things like heart disease and diabetes, etc., which, you know, my previous career was in public health, they're all public health issues, and dementia is a massive one. I never heard one of my public health colleagues actually mention the D word while I was working for 30 years in it. So it just needs bringing into the mainstream, if you like, for want of better words.
Yeah. I mean, that's another thing that sparked me off, is that I did have a phone in on an afternoon show, and the lines were crammed. And I was like, let's have, and then that's what started me off again. You know, we need to have a program on the air that people can call in. It would be so helpful. There are hundreds of thousands of people going through this on their own and sort of perhaps ignoring it. And daily you don't see such a disintegration with your partner. But if you've got, you know, that's the problem. But if you've got a radio station and you're listening, you might be able to recognize the signs. It would help you.
Well, Sean, sadly, time's reached to a bit of a close. I can see we're going to have to meet again, because we could talk for days.
I'm sorry. I've gone on and on and on.
No, it's been an absolute delight. And, you know, I will welcome you back in the near future to the D Word to do it all again. But for this edition, thank you so much for being my guest.
Thank you for having me on. Lovely to speak to you.
Thanks to Sean, and I wish her every success with her EB. Thanks to Sian, and I wish her every success with the EP Remember This, which you can find on all major streaming platforms, as well as a limited stock of CDs. And good luck with her work as a mentor ambassador touring care homes across the UK. Well, that's it for another edition. Thanks for your company. Hope you've enjoyed it. And you'll join me again soon for some more Dementia Talk right here on the D Word Podcast.